Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Autism Stories. I'm your host, Doug Bletcher, the founder of Autism Personal Coach. Autistic people are the true experts of the autistic experience, and Autism Stories is where we interview autistic people to learn from their stories, experiences, and get their insights. If you'd like to be notified about each week's episode of Autism Stories, we suggest you subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform. We would also appreciate it if you could give us a positive rating and review, as it will help others to learn about Autism Stories. On today's episode, Heidi Asman joins me to discuss baking, their other creative outlets, and how to be autistic and live a fabulous life in your 50s. We hope you enjoy today's conversation. Heidi, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I wanted to start our conversation off by learning, where does your story in the autistic community begin?
It was in 2021. I had just turned 51 and I was diagnosed with long COVID, and I lost 80% or 90% of my speech. It was horrible. I couldn't formulate sentences. I lost words. And I said, for instance, things like, he downstairs go to say that my cat Nimitz just went downstairs to go to the living room. This is what I talked like. It was horrible and I do not recommend it. And it was, I had a marathon of doctors who saw me, neurologists, neuropsychologists, GPs, and I had stuff done, spinal taps, MRT, CT scans, blood work done, you name it, I almost got it. And nobody ever picked up on what it could be that impacted my speech in that way. And it wasn't a stroke, it wasn't seizures, it was not this, it was not that. Thankfully, praise be, it also was not a kind of dementia, frontal lobe dementia, not Alzheimer's. And then, of all things, my occupational therapist picked up on it. It's almost unbelievable. And I was always the odd kid with the strange, made the strange faces and so on. Nobody picked up on it. And my occupational therapist, she did. And from then it went on. And yeah, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, has feathers like a duck. Yeah, it was a swan. It was an autistic swan.
So I'm just curious, hearing that, you know, your story, you know, you said like 80 to 90% of your ability for speech, to verbal, you know, to communicate with a spoken word. So, you know, I've interviewed a lot of non-speaking or minimally speaking autistic people on this podcast. So what was that experience like for you?
Well, because I earned my money with the ability to speak. I was a teacher for anatomy and physiology at a school for care nurses. So you can see I lost my job. Yeah. And basically, once I started speaking, I never stopped from being a child. There were others not talking till the age of 3 or 4 or whatever. No, I talked. Yes, I sometimes had areas when I was exhausted, for example, when I was sick and had a fever or something. I was in a somehow agitated state. I couldn't find my words then, but it's never been that extreme. It was only for a short amount of time, and now it was for 18 months. from February 21 to August 22. My account, which is Autistic NB Elder, used to be Word Salad until last year, August, but you need to get off the horse when it's dead. Yeah, so I renamed it.
Well, talking about your social media account, I follow you on Instagram, and you've created some beautiful art in which you share the hashtag 100-day project with each drawing and have a written phrase to go along with each drawing. So many of your drawings have dinosaurs in them. So I'm wondering about the significance of dinosaurs in your life, Heidi.
I was interested as a child in dinosaurs, but growing up in the 1970s and 80s in Germany, there wasn't much literature, children's literature to be had. This came later with our son. In 2002, he was 3 years old, and somehow we found books about dinosaurs, and he was hooked. And he was very into the scientific names that are Greco-Latin names, and they feel, when you read them as an adult, it feels like these things have 15 syllables and you stumble through them. Mom, can you say Hypsilophodon again and laugh? And the dinosaur stuff came by, I was drawing so many dinosaurs, same because I found a book that is called Color and Light. And it was by the, this was made by the inventor of Dinotopia. And I was so fascinated by the light. Yeah, I started watercolor drawing at our adult education center in 2002, did this for 4 years. And I was always fascinated with light. And in this book, light features prominently. And I think if I found a book about cathedrals, I would have drawn cathedrals and not dinosaurs. So it's a happy coincidence. I also do things like this is with oil pastels, and this is a watercolor birthday card. It's not just dinosaurs. But you are right, in the last few weeks, they were very prominently.
Now, as you were saying, you do art with lots of different things. And recently, you gave a couple of book recommendations. And one of them was an autistic comic anthology titled Sensory Life on the Spectrum, edited by Bex Olerton. Were there any particular comics in this anthology that kind of stuck out or were meaningful to you?
Yes, I need to get it. I forgot the title. It was Tips for an Autistic Adult Life. It's about sensory overload that spoke to me in such a fashion because I have sensory processing disorder, which is not a bundle of laughs. And if nobody knows about you being autistic, or nobody knows that there is such a thing as sensory processing disorder, that things can be too loud, too bright, too scratchy, too whatever for someone, you get told, especially as a child, no, it's not. Whatever you say, whatever you do, it's no, it's not. Don't be so special. Don't be so extra, blah, blah, blah. And whenever somebody says, yes, me too. And I found dozens of people now, since I know more people in the autistic community. And these things speak very loud to me. And I had to laugh about myself because unconsciously gathered things in my handbag I refer to as my sensory kit now. You won't see me leave the house without my sunglasses, without earplugs, the loops, or without thin gloves you need for first aid. Yeah, stuff like that, or something that a hand cream that smells nice, or my fisherman's friends. And I also carry with me a little scarf when I think it's something is chilly or there's a draft. Others can't feel, but I can. My handbag, yes, it looks like the mothership variety. It's not the little dinghy. And this is just, yeah, this book is, it feels very validating, yeah, which is, after 51 years, is a gift in itself. You finding the other swans, getting to know, no, I am not a duck. This is, there's, I can't fault the other ducks for picking me away, for saying, no, you don't, no, you don't fit it. Because I am different. But finding the other swans with things like that is priceless. Yeah, finding people like you. Yeah, when you went such a long time without even my beloved husband of 26 years can't compensate for this. Yeah.
I love the way you articulated that. So kind of shifting to one of your, another special interest of yours is cooking. And I read that recipes are constantly on your mind. So what recipes are on your mind these days?
Always on my mind. You will always find curries on my mind. So whether the Indian, the Malaysian, or the Thai variety. But now, especially this week, because it's my mom's birthday, I did not eat cheesecake when I was a child. And then I discovered the American cheesecake variety. Oh, honey, now we're talking. And it's my mom's birthday, and I'm not decided yet whether it will be a lime cheesecake or whether it will be a hummingbird cake.
What is a hummingbird cake?
I was told this was a southern U.S. Specialty. It's, carrot cake?
Yes.
It's, yeah, I love carrot cake. And it comes with some spices, but also in there is mashed bananas and pineapples. And this is not a torte, like Black Forest torte with lots of cream and stuff, but it's a dry cake because there's no cream involved or stuff or buttercream or anything. I will never forget the buttercream cake we had in Illinois in the exchange student program. Jam cakes do usually not come with buttercream, and they are not overly sweet. But we also say here, the more you honor your guest, the bigger the piece you give him, the piece of cake you give him is. And we were presented with artificial swimming pool blue cake. Very sweet, very buttercreamy. And yeah, to my endless shame, I could not finish the piece they gave me. Oh my God. I felt so embarrassed. Yeah. I love cooking and I love baking. It's another creative outlet. And perhaps to the anger of one or two cooks that are offended, I've never met a recipe I haven't changed in one way or another. Out of necessity, sometimes, you know, when you're with my deep love of the U.S. kitchen and there's so many influences in your cuisine, that people coming from all over the world and from Italy, from wherever. And this is so amazing for me. And then they cook with stuff you don't have, can't get. And then you have to, improvise. Or do things like, no, that's too much sugar, I need less. And these things are constantly on my mind. And I really suffered when I was so sick that when I lost my speech, I also, my short-term memories suffered, and I couldn't cook because I did not understand the recipes any longer. This was, I'm glad it's over. Thank you. Please don't, no, I don't want to go back there. Like a prisoner coming out of jail, I'm not going in back there. it felt like being in a cage. You can't get out. No key, no nothing. Not a nice time, but onwards to nicer things. Cooking is a huge relief. I can really fall into it. And it's another outlet for creativity. And the others are not exactly mad at me when there is something nice to be had, some nice product in the end. They get stuff to eat they wouldn't get otherwise. That's it.
Now, earlier you mentioned being over 50 and learning about your autism and all that. And in about 5 years, I'll be 50. So I'm really thinking about my 50s and life moving forward. So, in thinking about that, you shared on your social media the hashtags of over 50 and over 50 and fabulous. So what have you learned to make your 50s a fabulous time in your life?
The 50s in my life were not a fabulous time because when I was 50, coronavirus hit me. But I still say that with a little tongue in cheek, that I am over 50 and not to be thrown away. I'm fabulous. And I know things, I know stuff, I've experienced things that you don't have with 20 or with 30 or something. And there is an art to it, to be calm. I need to use a four-letter word. You can perhaps bleep that out. It's the classic, the F. I just say the F, you get me. There is an art to not give an F. Fs must be earned. And I'm not responsible for how anybody sees me, or how anybody thinks about me. This is what I have learned, and this feels fabulous. I come from a very small village with a population around 100. It was a Catholic village, and I stood out because I was not in the same school as the other kids. We separate kids here at school. We have several kinds of school. And I learned two foreign languages. The others didn't. Stuff like that. They weren't interested in any books or something. And I was different. I had a hard time making friends. Everybody who's autistic will nod their heads along right now, I think. And my grandmother was always like, oh my God, your behavior, I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed because you behave like that. You're not like a girl. I know I'm not a girl. I'm non-binary. I refuse to wear dresses or skirts or anything. I always had my hair short and was always, I'm so ashamed because you are like that. And now I say, I'm old enough to say, this is not my problem. This is not my monkey, not my circus. It's all yours. Mm-hmm. And this is absolutely fabulous.
I love that. So I'm learning in my life, Heidi, now in the last year or two or three, how important rest is. And I've seen you talk about that on your social media. What ways have you found rest to be important, and what's been the overall impact on your life?
I learned the very hard way that rest is important. I wouldn't have gotten long COVID if I rested properly after my corona infection. But I caught it in November 2020. There was no talk about vaccines or anything. I went back to work, and as a teacher, this is high octane teaching what I did. And it's not like, I love my students, and there was action in my classroom to my demise. I was very, very sick afterwards. And only rest gets you out of it. If you want to or not, you don't get asked. Yeah? Your body says you rest or else. And my husband had burnout in 2004. And to be very honest, he hasn't recovered since. It's depression on and off. And yes, we are very glad he can work. I can't. With our social security in Germany, it's not as bad. It wouldn't be as bad as it is in the US. But still, it's still no fun to be had. And if you don't rest, your body lets you in on the secret that he is stronger than your mind. And if you don't rest voluntarily, your body makes you rest. No two ways about it. And even still chronically ill now, everything about over 6 months is called chronically ill. It's still fabulous. Yeah, life is still fabulous. I wouldn't have discovered any of my art. So there is still some fabulousness to be had. I hope one day I can drive again. I can't drive now because my tension and really think my reaction time is way too slow. It's 5 times slower than people of my age. So I don't drive because it's too dangerous for all the people involved. And I don't want to run over innocent children or something. So perhaps I will recover. I have recovered a great deal. And I don't see why this shouldn't go further.
Well, Heidi, it's been a wonderful conversation. Thanks so much for joining me. How can our listeners learn about you beyond this interview?
Just follow me on Autistic and Be Elder on Instagram. There is nothing else to be had about me publicly. I don't have any Patreon or I don't sell on Etsy or... This is my only outlet.
No TikTok for you, just Instagram.
Videos? I have really a hard time watching videos. Also, TikTok? No, I don't even do reels on Insta. This is not my jam.
Well, I will continue to follow you on your Instagram account. Thanks so much for joining me today, Heidi.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm still humbled that you would have me. Thank you. It was great fun.
Thanks so much to Heidi for the conversation. To learn more about Heidi, please check out the link in the podcast description for this episode. At Autism Personal Coach, we provide customized coaching for autistics to help improve the quality of our lives. All of our coaches are either autistic or autistic selected for their commitment to trauma-informed and neurodiversity-affirming strategies. They deeply understand burnout, sensory needs, executive functioning, and the importance of special interests. If you're interested in learning more about our coaching, please visit autismpersonalcoach.com for more information. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autism Stories, and if you did, if you could tell a friend, foe, or anyone you know about it so they could have the same enjoyable and educational experience as you when listening to Autism Stories, it would be very much appreciated. Until next time, I'm Doug Bletcher of Autism Personal Coach. Talk to you then.